In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We ask God, our Father, to give us guidance in this way that we begin today, understanding better the only thing that is necessary, and it's a choice, is the best part that we can choose. So we ask Him to give us that light in our hearts and in our lives. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Mary was the teacher of Jesus in prayer life and in opening Him to God with Saint Joseph, so we commend everything to them, and that we are also, they can also teach us the reason she is our mother. And all what we are going to say is in fullness in her, so. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And knowing that God is everywhere, but especially in our hearts, and we are called to glorify God through our bodies and through our lives, we give glory to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, we can, I think, begin making an introduction to everyone. I introduce myself. Father Armando. I am disciple of the Heart of Jesus and Mary. It's a religious congregation. We have two houses here in the United States, one in Alexandria, North Virginia, close to Washington, D.C., another here. And we are, our spirituality is founded in the spirituality of St. Ignatius, especially in the spiritual exercises, and it is working with marriage and family and education. We have two schools in Spain that we are on the way. One is about 2,000 children, and the other is just began 2 years ago. And so we are building it. And I am here working. And the vicar, parochial vicar, Father Javier is the pastor, and there's another priest here from Slovakia that is also from the disciples. And two other priests, one is teaching in the seminary, Father Luis Granados, and the other is working in another parish. We are six here, and a student who is going to the seminary, and it's a year like pastoral and formation. He's not yet a priest. Ignacio is his name. And I am of a big family. Tomorrow I'm going to Spain for one of my sisters, I think it's the fourth. She's going to have her 25th anniversary of wedding. It was the first wedding I did in my family, so I'm going to celebrate now the 25 years of a fruitful marriage. I have six children, and so that is 10 siblings.
Wow.
Yeah. We can begin with you.
And I'm Peter Sturr. I am a founder and president of Inipso Ministry, and I'm here to, you know, as you can hear Father Armando, I always say that Father Armando is not American. You can hear it from accent. Neither I, you know. And when we speak, usually people say, it's so hard, it's so difficult, that it is really penance to listen to us. So you need more penance? And Father said, you need more penance here, so let's do that. We are talking about mortification yesterday. So here's going to be, you're going to listen to some who have a heavy accent. But before we'll go into the class, I want to give you a little brief overview where we are going, and something what we want to bring new to this class for our spiritual growth. I would say the motto which we discussed with Father Armando before was when Jesus Christ finished his Sermon on the Mount, then he said this: anybody who hears these words and acts on them is the wise man. That we want to be wise, because we learn somehow in America to come to listen to the presentation, and we like to hear, but it's very hard to act upon it, very hard to act and practice it in the daily life. Even though so many people went through Father Chris Hellstrom classes, and you know, we ask people to have certain commitment, when you hear it, then you try to apply it to life. But it is so hard when we're doing it alone, or you don't have a certain support group. So we would like to lead toward a support group, having here the discussion every other week on a more deeper level. But that would be the newness. But the motto will be that blessed are those who hear and act upon it. And when we are going to start to act upon it, we will learn it is a battle. Yesterday, Father was making presentation. Prayer is the battle, and it's going to be battle, but it's good to know that we are going to be victorious. So before that, I want to give you a brief overview, and we will give you binders at the end, because there's going to be a lot of material that you're going to receive at every class that you are going to take home and pray about it as well. But as I was printing, the printer was doing some magic things, you know. I got printer like this page, and the next one came like this, the next one like that, and even like that, and then finally it started to go like this. I don't have any more. Okay, so I don't. We will give you front pages sometimes later, but I just said, you know, it is funny that I tried to print Father Chris Ostrom front pages, everything was okay. But once I put the name Father Armando, printer stopped working. You know, I don't know what is happening. So let me give you a brief overview again, goal of the mission of Inifso Ministry. We will say why we call this the one thing necessary. And then we will go into setting group, what we are going to expect from the group, and we'll go a little bit briefly through the commitment, because those who register through the website, you know what to be expected. Those who just came to taste it, I will tell you what to be expected, and I tell you, you are going to be promised today, and you are not going to leave, because it's going to lead you to heaven. And that will be briefly, and we'll try to record every class, and we'll put it on the website. We will be able to review it as well, and I will add some of the introductions with Father Chris Hellstrom did on the classes that will teach us more how to pray or how to run this small group, and Chandra will help us a little bit later. Those who are going to be here and who promise that can help us with being table leaders, see Chandra at the end. We will need one beadle who is going to be person who can be overseeing the whole group and be contact person. For example, if it was snow days and it has to be canceled, or you know, Father Armando or I, somebody cannot come, that it will be cancellation, that we will keep in contact with everybody, but mostly with table leaders as well. So let me tell you a little bit about the mission of Inipso Ministry. I would say that our goal is like two-folded. We hope that people will obtain first the freedom to follow Christ wherever he leads. It is truly freedom to go wherever he leads, because we like to take the control, but it means to be total surrender. But in order for us to be free, like Ignatius Loyola, when he was inviting people to those two spiritual exercises, you may hear voice of God calling you, but you may be having disordered attachment. So you need to be freed from a lot of disordered attachment that are blocking you from the spiritual progress. And we'll talk about it as well. But what we want to people know that Christ came and said, I came here that you may have a life and have it abundant. And many people, especially here in this country, think that abundance means to have a lot of possession, a lot of material, a lot of money, good job security, retirement plan, etc. But you know what? That's good, but what Christ wants to give us is much more, much more. But we ask or expect, I would say, less that God wants to give us. He wants to give us himself, truly himself. He wants to be with us. So, but we need to know him, and we will go through that, that Jesus Christ came to reveal who Father is, because we have a misconception who our Heavenly Father is. Many think that he's boss, he's judge, he's coming to destroy us, and he's just checking if we are doing things right or wrong, and there's going to be big punishment and maybe even hell if you're not going to follow everything. And we have a certain fear of God the Father because we don't know who he is as a father. And as Colossians said, that Christ came and he is the image of invisible God. And through him, with him, and in him, we can reach that our goal, which is eternal life. And through him, with him, and in him, it comes from the Holy Mass when priests elevate the host and say, how to be good glory to God through Christ, through Him, with Him, and in Him. And in Latin, it is per ipsum et cum ipso et in ipso. Now you know the name where it's coming from, the name of our ministry. So, but we want that people will come to know God. What it means to know God. You know, many people think that to know God is, well, I'm a good Catholic, I go to church. You know, I follow rules, follow commandments. This is very good, but it doesn't mean that I know God. We want to let people know that I can know God personally, intimately, experientially. We want to let people know that to know God is more than to attend the church. It is more than to maybe sometimes you want to work for the church. To know God is more than to go through the Catholic education. I spoke with a priest who was a professor at many universities, and he said, we can learn the subject, and we can even become teachers of the subject. But I was teaching as a professor at many Catholic universities, and when I listened to professors, how they were teaching, I knew that they know the subject, but I questioned, do they know God? Something changes dramatically when you come to the personal knowledge of God and you understand His love. So that we will know Him, because know Him is more than all these other things which we do. It's to allow Him to be God of everything, and it requires a real battle. The one thing necessary, anybody knows where is it coming from? It was Jesus who said. But do you know when He said that the one thing is necessary?
Mary and Martha's story.
And you know, many people don't understand exactly how what Jesus tried to say, because He told her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things. Mary has chosen better part. The one thing is necessary. It will not be taken away from her. You know, Jesus didn't tell Martha, don't work. Listen carefully. He said, you are worried and anxious about many things. And worry and anxiety is sometimes within us. And many times we respond to that. But this is a movement within us, and we respond to it and we act a different way, but we don't respond to God. Because if we don't know Him, we don't know about our interior life. We don't know how to deal with those things. So what is the real interior life? Father Reginald Gallagher Lagrange, I forgot to bring the book. He wrote Three Ages of Interior Life. And he began chapter with an introduction to his book, which is about that thick. It's a two-volume. But he began an introduction, and he called it The One Thing Necessary, with a purpose. Because He wanted to lead us, like we have the motto, hearing and acting upon Word of God. It's important to hear upon God. But He said, what is interior life? And He said, interior life is kind of an intimate conversation with every human being has with himself or herself. You know, when we have a conversation with other people, we are in conversation with them. But once we cease to have a conversation with other people, we enter into conversation with ourselves. And it doesn't matter that I will be in the chapel or some other places or where is the quietness. I can be driving in the traffic. I can be walking through 16th Street Mall. I can have a conversation within myself. And I'm meeting myself. What is that conversation I have about with myself?
Yourself.
Yeah, but what is the topic?
Whatever bothering you, or what
preoccupies the most. That's the topic. What preoccupies the most, which you know where you spend most time thinking, but the problem is happening when we come. We need to grow and we understand, but it leads us into selfish life, self-centeredness life, and that's a self-centered interior life. But Lagrange says once the person starts to seek the goodness and truth, but he said seriously. Seek the goodness and truth, something started to change within the person. Gets out of himself, gets toward goodness and truth, which is God Himself. Because goodness and truth are not only a gift from God, God Himself is the goodness and truth. And He said, if you start to seriously to seek it, you will find God. You will find inevitably God. Therefore, that's why he said the one thing necessary is really that I try to turn toward the goodness that leading me to my ultimate goal. So what is that ultimate goal which we want to reach here? You know, when we speak about prayer,
That's what we want to learn, how to pray. Father is going to give us today preamblance, like a 4 steps, how to enter into the prayer, how to prepare. They are so powerful that I know the person that started to practice, and the person entered into the presence of God just in the preparation for the prayer, didn't need more. Truly, because the goal of the prayer is union with God. Goal of life is union with God, and I would say goal of eternal life is to be in union with God. So if I know the goal, that's what I seek. But when we go to parishes and we ask people, do you pray? And I ask people who pray, everybody raises their hand, I pray. And when I ask people a little bit more about prayer, how is your prayer? Usually is the prayer of petition. We ask God to help us to do what we want to do, what we choose to do. And when it comes to the deeper prayer, I said, anybody who prays regularly, many people raise their hand. But I said, how many people pray Our Father prayer? I tell you, in the Catholic Church, even little children raise their hand. Everybody raised their hand that I pray that prayer. But when I ask, how many of you lately stopped at the words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and waited? Lord, what is your will? What do you desire of me? And just ponder and give him chance to talk, not just me talk. You know, usually when I ask how many people, the hands go down like this. Yeah, and yet we say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. How do I know that I do will of God? God gave us certain instruction and we'll go through that. How do I know how to pray? But, you know, many times we have this tendency, I will choose what I'm going to do for God. I'm going to choose what I'm going to do for this parish. I'm going to be involved in this parish as usher, whatever. But I'm choosing certain things. I'm choosing direction which I go. And then I ask God, Lord, help me here. But few of us really listen to God and sense that God is calling me to live this way. And this is the spiritual exercise that leads us into the discernment. Because when we look at the lives of the people in the scripture, it was not Moses who came to one land and found and said, this is beautiful land. I'm going to call it promised land. And you know what? What to do with that, with this beautiful property? How about I'm going to get people from Egypt and fill this land? That's not how it was. It was God who asked him, are you going to do it? And he said, yes. And then he did the will of God. But it was from hearing and acting upon it. When you look at the Abraham, you know, here is Moses, what is his mission? So what is your mission? Do you know what is your mission? What are you doing? Are you doing what God asked you to do? Who are you? What is your identity? Many people don't know. We are losing identity. And today, in this wild world where the identity of marriage is destroyed, not just marriage, but the identity of person is being destroyed in the very core, that people doubt who they are. Am I man or woman, whatever? But who am I created in image likeness as God? Do I know my identity? It's not what I step myself, what society tell me who I'm supposed to be, but we react to that. Father will talk about it. Many of us, I want to be appreciated, I want to be liked, I want to be admired, I want people to speak highly about me, and that forms me into pleasing other people. But who am I? Look at Abraham. He didn't say, well, I think my identity should be father of the nations. How about that? No. God chose him for that. God chose him to be father of the nations. And he said yes, he accepted it. It was not David who said, bummer, tending sheep for all my life, I think I can serve God better as a king. No, God anointed him and he accepted the role. Are we anointed for the mission which God has given us? Do we live it? Do we know it? It was not prophets who decided, well, I want to prophesy. You know, there are many people who like to prophesy today, but are we prophesizing because God called us to be prophets? The reality is many prophets resisted. What do you want to? You know, we just went through a liturgy of the hours in office reading our Jeremiah. God has appointed him to be the prophet, and he accepted the role. That's when he did the will of God. You know, Mary was chosen, and she said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Then she did what God asked her. It was not Peter who said, fisherman, I deserve to be first pope. No, God has appointed him to be pope. So it is very important for us to learn to hear, and God speaks to us many different ways, and learn to receive and act upon that what we receive from God. And Father is going to guide us a lot. But there is a battle within us, because how do I know that I hear God or not? So there's going to be a lot of guidance, and spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola were designed precisely for that. Precisely for that. But in your five promises which you are giving coming to the class for those who sign up on the website, is that we ask you to take it seriously, to really seriously this class. It is not because of the Father Armando. It is not because of Enipso, but because of God, out of reverence to God. So we ask you that you will strive to come to every class as much as you can. We are going to record it. If something will happen that you really cannot come, you can access it on the website. But to come here and to listen to this great spiritual master, I tell you, I work with many priests, you will learn. There are only few masters like Father Armando. Don't take it for granted. So, but be very personal, because many people say, well, I'm a little tired. I will just listen to it on the website. I always tell them, you know what? On a website, you can do so many things, you know, but how many of you took a vacation last time on a website, going on Google or on YouTube? You can find the best beaches in the world, choose the nicest weather, but to be there is different than watching it on YouTube. To be here is a little pilgrimage toward God. You do it, Lord, I'm coming toward you, because I desire to hear you. I desire you to find you. You have appointed this holy man, so let me to receive you. So that's one of the commitment. Another commitment is that you are going to practice this at least 15 to 30 minutes a day. Truly, because if you are not going to practice it, you are going to treat this as information. What is the difference between receiving information and being really formed in a prayer? You know, and Father is going to provide a lot of something what many people consider information for the reading. But Father remind you, reading is not important, because you can take a lot of notes of the things which you heard, like, wow, I never heard that thing. You take a note of that. You take the note of the things which you probably heard before, but now you forgot, and now thank you, Lord, for reminding me. But many times we want to invite people to take a note of what stirs you, what moves you within when you hear Father speaking. When we do retreats, or when I observe people in the class and Father teaches, you see people are taking notes, but many people in different time. Why? Because it's very personal. Something touched you. Something spoke to you personally. What you heard is personal. Many of us have a tendency to pray to God such a way that we lead the monologue. And yet prayer should be dialogue. So how do I know that God speaks to me? Of course, whenever I hear read the word of God, he speaks to me. But we need to learn how to pray unceasingly. God speaks to me all the time through circumstances, through people around me. He allows certain things happen to me, and I can understand and to come to know him in doing my daily duties and every day of life. So how does he communicate to me? That's why it is important for me to be attentive to this action and what is happening within me as well. So, and I a little digress from this point, but the Catechism of Catholic Church tells us we cannot pray unceasingly unless we learn to pray actually meaningfully at certain time. I need to put in my daily schedule time for the prayer, time for God, which we can call sacred time. It means that sacred time is a time when it's sacred. It means, holy, it is to be set apart. That time is for prayer. Not checking email during the time, not picking up the phone, not responding to anything, but this time is dedicated to God, purely to God. And we will learn how God works with us, how he speaks to me. He speaks to me through the scriptures. But when you take the note, maybe this is what God's stirring within you already something, because it's unique for you, for you, for you. Maybe that's how He is already initiating dialogue with you when you hear Father presenting to you Christ's words. And maybe that's what you need to bring to those few 15 or 30 minutes of daily life. Lord, when I was in the class, this spoke to me. What is it? What are you telling me here? Did this move me? Or this hurt me? And those things which you hear can be so-called positive or negative. We call it consolation, desolation. It caused, you know, when we have a readings in the church like Jeremiah 29:11. It's very popular today. You know, I know your way. I know your plans. I want your prosperity. I want your good life. Everybody, preach. Oh, just preach that. We like that. But, you know, we went through that lately. Love your enemy. Pray for those hate you. Oh, wow, I don't like it. You know, something moves within you. I was just speaking with another person. You know, when priests started to speak about pro-life and give pro-life homily, you know what pro-lifers do? Yeah, finally, you know, I was waiting for that. You know, waiting for this great homily because they are involved. They love it. Yet, there are people sitting in a church who probably had abortion and regret it. Their movement within to the same message is different. Maybe it's very painful. Regrets and seeks forgiveness. And that's what it causes it. And yet there are people who are promoting abortion. Their movement is anger toward that person. So it's same message. So it may happen that you can hear something, recognize what is happening within you, even if you don't like what you hear. Words of Jesus Christ are many times challenging, and bring that to the prayer and say, Lord, this is how I felt. What? Why is it? Why is it that I don't welcome your message? There must be some obstacle. Lead me to the freedom of that. I know that I should have a joyful movement within me. Why is it? So, but be attentive what is happening within you. So don't just focus on what Father is going to give, what He says, but what is happening within you. Maybe that's how God is inviting you to the prayer. And when you start to read what Father gives you as an information, you don't need to finish it, because the goal of the prayer is union with God. You started to pray, and as something comes to you, the humble always conquer God. You feel, Lord, you call me to humility. No, Lord, I don't have time to listen to you because I have still few pages to read here. You know, no. Don't continue. The goal of the prayer is union with God. When you meet Him in the first sentence, stay there. You don't need to read everything, but that's what we want to remind you. There are other are very cheesy, or I would say very easy commitment which you have. We invited people to be open to the church teaching. I know many people may have a struggle with the church teaching. Why we invited you to be open? You might have a struggle, but it's always good. God would never want of you anything what is not good for you. We need to have that trust. So if you struggle, be open. God will reveal to you maybe some disordered interpretation of what church teaches, what God is telling you. But be open to it. When I attended the classes with Father Chris, he didn't wrote it so nicely. He said, if you want to be in this class, you have to agree with all church teaching. I said, well, that's nice. But I'm welcome. You know, I don't have a problem with that. Next commitment is you need to seek confession. A minimum of what church requires. Anybody knows what church requires? Isn't that cheesy? You know, I'm pretty sure most of you are going to confession quite often, because as Ignatius said, what is important to get rid of disordered attachment and sinful habits, simple lifestyle. Father will teach us not just to not to like it, hate it completely. So. That's a fourth commitment to seek the reconciliation. And fifth is that you desire to find out and engage in God's given mission. You know, none of us are coincidence. None of us are surprised to God. I said it so often. You know, when you were born, maybe your parents were surprised, but I tell you, God was not surprised that you have a life. And God didn't just say in Psalm 139, in mother's womb, I need you. But as He said to Jeremiah, before you were in mother's womb, I knew you. And again, the word knowledge, the knew you, in the biblical understanding is different. Different just to have information about you. Because he willed you into existence. He desired, it was his will, and God is love. He loved you into existence. So you have a purpose, you have a meaning. Are you seeking it? Do you desire to find it and live it fully? If you don't, be honest, you don't need to be here. But that's the goal, is that you will really be open to that, to find it and be ready to engage it and live it. So that's enough of an overview. We are going to have a few groups, and we'll be probably have about groups up to 6 people. And what the goal of this group setting is, we are going to have table leaders, and those table leaders are going to perform how to share these things, what is happening. Well, we will come next week. We will talk about how much we applied to our daily life what we heard Father Chris, Father Armando speaking here. Because again, it's hearing and acting upon it. So when you dedicate those 10-15 minutes, you will learn a lot of things, what is happening within you. Father Armando, Father Chris, I'm confusing between you because I'm working with the greatest teachers here. Mm-hmm. But Father Chris was telling you, when you're going to share at a table, there are things which are, let's see, private, and there are public, and personal. Okay? How does it look like, and what do we want you to? You know, private things are really deep things of what are happening within you. You are, that's not for the sharing in the group. That's usually if you have some good friend whom you can really trust. You are private, and you open your heart, and you know that the person is not going to betray you, he's not going to talk about it. Or you can say it in confession. What are your struggles? What are your joys? It's well, in your spiritual direction, to your spouse, somebody close. They probably don't belong here. I was speaking today with somebody that sometimes we misuse it. We take those things which are private into places which should not be. Like, do you watch sometimes Oprah? You know, when there are people who are couple who are sharing their most intimate problems which they have and bring in front of the TV. What a shame. It doesn't belong there. We have so many shows like that. Families' issues are brought to the public. Should not be. That's not what we ask. What is the private? What is public? You know, many people, I hear it, many people have difficulties to even open in spiritual directions, which I feel very sorry. Like, did you pray? Oh, yeah, I pray that every day. So what was happening? Very good. It was very good. Prayer was fine. I stayed with the time. You know, it was... but I did it. Yeah, I'm glad. But that doesn't tell me how was the prayer. You know, I have no idea what was happening within the soul. But that we speak about it like, how are you doing? Good, good morning. You know, I remember when I came to America, one of the craziest things was how you greet each other. We say good morning. How are you? For me was question. It was not greeting. And everybody asked me and nobody cares. Like, you know, every morning. And actually, the first time I remember, there was a lady, I was working in the church, and lady was working, and she said, how are you doing this morning? I said, this is too specific. How are you doing this morning? And she just walked by and said, do you care? Yeah, if you care, you stop and ask. So, but we take it, you know, how are you? And says, oh, very good, very good. How was the Broncos? Oh, really good. And but those are general things. What are your hopes? Well, going to vacation, hopefully with nice weather. And those are very general public which we share. But those are not important. We want to look into that. What was happening within me? Because what is happening within the group when we are sharing in the group? Many times you struggle with something and you don't know how to overcome it. And suddenly there's a person who struck with a very similar thing, but God has given the grace, and you say, this is what I needed to hear. Because God speaks many times to us through others. There can be things which you can think, I'm the only one who have this struggle, and you can feel, no, we all have the certain battles. There is a things which you are going to share with each other the struggles and joys and obstacles as well. But the goal is that we will see that we are here together supporting each other, even in those commitments. Like, I just got so busy, it was so difficult for me to commit to that prayer. And I got a schedule, and then my work just pressed on me, and I was standing in front of this. I didn't know what to do, and I gave up on that. But you know, we need to support each other and to understand what helped me, how to battle, how to stay committed to this prayer, to this sacred moment with God. So that's what we hope the groups are going to do. We'll give more information that we are going to be sharing next week. Don't want to take too much from the talk today, but that should be it probably. I just stop here. Any questions regarding this? I just want to let you know what we are going to do unique this year. Last year, Father Armando gave this presentation, and many people who have never even experienced any of the preparation, the teaching through In Ipso Ministry, never went on the retreat, never heard my talks, Father Chris Ostrom, when they came, they recognized that message which you are going to hear, what they heard. We never heard it, and yet it had been always part of the church teaching. This is so wonderful, so great, but we didn't have that support. So we decided that Father Armando will teach 1 week, and next week we'll meet and we'll talk about it. How was it? How we struggle, how we battle it. And Father has a lot of duties and responsibility, but he'll try to come at the end, prepare for the questions which rise up among us from how did we battle? What is common in my group and your group? And table leaders will present it to Father, and Father will try to give us instructions. Instruction to that. I shared with somebody today, I think, one gift, which I, for example, gained tremendously with one of his first talk, which we do once a month, which is called Guided by the Spirit, which was inspired by many people who were going to retreat. They found out that the Father presented great teaching. They learned how to battle in the prayer, but they wanted to have it nourished this interior life. So now it is offered this St. Mary's monthly recollection, which nourishes your interior life. You know, Father speaks about a lot of that, experiencing what is within you when God is asking you to do certain things. With this joy, joy is the sign of the presence of Holy Spirit, is the fruits of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many of us, we don't have a joy. And one guy raised the hand and said, Father, you're talking about the joy and happiness and peace. You know, I'm many times frustrated. I'm angry. And Father said something what stuck with me deeply. He said, do you know why you are angry and frustrated? For one thing, because your will is not done. Picture that. Simple answer, but powerful. Because if things go as you want, do you have a reason to be angry and frustrated? Absolutely not. So, if you are frustrated because your will is not gone, maybe it's God's will. And you say it so often, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And if it is done, his will, not your will, and we get frustrated. But how do I know that I am not in union with God? Because the fruits of it is a frustration. I'm not accepting what God is presenting to my life. So if I recognize the movement within me, anger and frustration, I know this is not of God. Because fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, generosity, and so on. So that's what we are going to learn. So I hope that Father will guide us even in those questions and answers to give us much more of this wisdom. Thank you again. Any question? Comments? Complain? If you want to complain, complain to Father. No, no. Okay, thank you.
Okay, you put me too high. Now I'm going down. Okay. We have 40 minutes. So we're going to try always to finish at time, even where we are, no matter. We finish at time. The thing here is that we are going to try. You can always ask, do you understand what I am saying? Because my accent can be, or because you understand, because I am not explaining it well. So, both. So, we are always open to that dialogue The day that is going to be more that you go deeper in what is happening in your life is the next day. We are going to have a week, so you put in practice what we are trying to give you here. It's your choice. You know, the text of Peter quote of Jesus in Luke is Mary has chosen the best part. It's a choice. Prayer is always a choice. You don't choose. Choice is the expression of love. It's a preference. No, I choose that because I prefer that. So it's always an expression of love. It's an expression of freedom. Freedom, we talk about freedom, but freedom is only real when it becomes a choice. Freedom is nothing when it's in our head, or we are talking about freedom, it's nothing. Freedom is real when I make a choice. Because that is the concrete action of freedom, choosing. And God is inviting us. This is all about the action of God. It's not about us. It's letting God to work in us. It's all about grace. And grace is an action of God that is gratis. Grace and gratis is the same root in Latin. So why? Because it's no reason. It's not that you are good. It's not that you are doing the prayer. It's that God loves you. And this disposition of the heart is very important because it's called faith. And we are before a God who is goodness, and we are going to try to open to Him. So the goal of prayer is not saying things. The goal of prayer is receiving the graces of God. Sometimes the graces can be very deep, but you don't feel them so strong. But God is working. So the point is not if I am feeling or if I am not feeling. We will talk a lot about that feelings. It's about how I am opening to God. And the preambles that we call them, preambles for calling them something, is a word that we can use as many others, is the introduction to prayer, is the base of the basic things that you need in prayer. Without these four things, there is no real prayer. So prayer is founded in these four choices that you have to make. Because they are not feelings, they are not emotions, they are choices that you do. Or if you don't do them, your prayer is going to be more difficult, more dry, and probably you give up your prayer. If you work these four introductions to prayer, your prayer, in my opinion, will be good always. Maybe you are very tired and you get asleep, but that's that you need to sleep. But that's not a problem of prayer. If you need to sleep, sleep. So I'm trying to make an effort and know why I'm praying very bad. Okay, God knows how you are and He knows exactly what is your situation. So here is learning to open to the personal love God has for me. Because it's personal. So you pray the way you know your identity. Because your Father will reveal it to you in the mystery of Christ. But if we don't pray, it's impossible that I know what God is wanting me to be or to do in this life. God is God, and He rules everything. The only thing that He doesn't have a total power and lordship and kingship of love is my heart. And that is all the process of prayer is learning to let Him to be my king of love, my Lord, my God, and the one who take possession of my interior life. Because He is the fountain, He is the guidance, and He is the goal of everything in the universe. And now is how I let Him to be what He is, only that. Spiritual life is letting God to be God. Well, He's God everywhere. I mean, He's ruling everything in almighty power and infinite divine providence. Even the hairs of our head are counted. But now it depends on me how the hairs of my head inside me are being counted by God, because I can maybe resist in some way and don't let Him to do His work within me. And for this, the preamble. The preambles, in my opinion, are the essential part of prayer, because it's the way you go and walk to the union with God. You walk to the union with God through what we think is the things I'm going to say. Everything is very, very simple, because spiritual life is very simple. It's difficult because me, but it's simple because it's for the little ones, as you know. I give you, I praise you, Father, because you have revealed this thing to the childlike, and you have hidden them to the learned and the clever. I mean, it's the plan of God, and Jesus is claimed full of the Holy Spirit in a joy that is more clear in St. Luke than in St. Matthew. I give you thanks, Father, because you have hidden these things to those who think that they are clever and they are learned. And you have given them to the married children, to the little one. So it has to be simple, because if it is given to the little ones, means that it's simple, cannot be a complicated thing for some kind of a special people, no. So the more, and these are the you know, the, this is one we have to trash. Maybe there are more.
We need to do that with them. We will see.
So parents are faith. No. Faith is the foundation of everything in a spiritual life. It's a theological virtue. Why? Because it's about God. It's not about me. It's about God. It's part of it is about me in relationship with God. But faith, the, you know, the, you can read if you want during this week. Also, in the Catechism of the Church, we have, you have in the part of life in Christ, that is the moral part of the Catechism of the Church, more than moral, it's life in Christ, so it's not only moral, it's because moral is a very, very bad understanding of what is human action. Because so we think in morals, and we think in laws, and we think in precepts, nothing to do. I mean, it's part of it, but it's not the essential part. The essential part is your freedom, and the way you are growing and maturing and achieving fullness in your life. That is moral life. So moral life and human life is the very same thing. This is St. Thomas Aquinas. At the beginning of the work about ethics. Well, not that he didn't work in the some, in the theological psalm, he talked about that. Moral actions are human actions. So those who are coming from free will, from free choice. And you have in the catechism of the church, the so you can understand them better. I will give you something here in the, I will give you two papers and two little, not so little, I mean, but that have a lot of information there. But it's for understanding what are you going to choose. I mean, because these are choices. You don't choose, you don't grow, because they are virtues, theological virtues. And virtues means elective habits. This is Aristotle. So, elective habits means that are dispositions that you create inside you for making easier the things. So the deeper are the virtues, the stronger are the muscle, the spiritual muscle, we can call them that. Easier is the things in a spiritual life. So more faith you have, more hope you have, more humility you have, more charity you have, the things become very easy. Imagine praying for Mary, or praying for Jesus, or praying, or some the cure of hearts when he was talking about prayer. Prayer is heaven on earth. When I was walking for saying masses around because other priests were sick or whatever, it was such a joy because I have time for prayer. And so he can be praying. And for him, prayer is happiness on earth. I mean, why? Because when a heart like this man is pure and simple, he get immediately in the union with God. That is what we are called, every one of us. You are created for the union with God. So the meaning you exist is the union with God. The meaning of everything that is happening in your life is for the union with God. God is not like God that make a plan and we fail it. No. God makes a plan, and when he has a goal, imagine an infinite wisdom, infinite power, infinite love, working with a purpose. And the purpose that he has, that is almighty in his intention, is you get in the union with him. Obviously, in a communion that is depending not on him, but on you. Because on his part, he has given himself to the cross for teaching you how much he desired the union with you. Cannot be more desire. I mean, that our infinite God is giving his son to die on a cross for you, and make the church founded only for reminding this action, that is the Eucharist, that the love the Father has for you and the love of God has for you. I mean, something is in me that is not letting that happen. Cannot be in God, he's almighty. And he thirsts for you. And the meaning of your life is the union with him. So he's wanting that union, and the earlier, the better. Why? Because he wants you to be holy and bring others to him. So it's a matter of how you open to him. And how I open to him. There is only four virtues. The others can help because are connected with this. But the one is faith. I mean, these are choices. I mean, you have to choose it. are, we can say, responses. You respond to God, to the word of God. Faith is not about a feeling. We try to explain there. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. I understand what Jesus has revealed, and I believe in Jesus. And believing in Jesus, I believe in his words. No? Because if I say that I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in his words, Jesus can say, you don't believe me. No? So it's the word of God. So the revelation of God. But it's not a word that is intellectual revelation. No, it's not that I am revealing you, giving an information about things. No. God, when he reveals, he gives himself to you. It's the same thing. So revelation of God is self-revelation. It's self-donation. It's self-gift of God for you. So God gives himself through his word. And it's the only way you can go in that communion with God is opening to that self-gift of God to you. You can read that in the Vatican II, and Jean Paul II talk a lot about this. Why? Because what he's looking is the communion with you. So, but God has given himself. He took 2,000 years for come to the fullness of that action of giving himself that you know is the Eucharist. Why? Because in the Eucharist he's given himself. This is my body that is given up for you. And it's actualizing the action. It's a memorial, but it's an actualization in a sacramental way, but in a real way. What? The action of God giving himself to you. He cannot do more because the Father is giving the Son now for you. So it's something that surpasses your understanding and the love he has for you. And the same thing, this is the action of shedding, pouring out my blood for you, for making with you a new and eternal covenant. Because it's a covenant of union with God. And this covenant is done in my blood, so in the love of the Father. Because the blood of Jesus is the charity of the Father, is the love of the Father. And now the thing depends on how I am opening to that. I mean, it's not a problem in God. That is very clear. God has no problems. He's infinite. He has love and compassion. And he's suffering in some way because we don't answer to his love. As with the prodigal son we saw the last day in this weekend, no, the Sunday. The Father has no problems. It's painful in some way, compassion, because he's expecting the coming back of his son to the house. But the Father has no anger, is not upset, is not as we think that God is with us when we sin. And this guy was not a very simple thing. He went to spend the money of the Father in prostitutes, as the good brother told him unto the Father. I mean, he was a very nice brother talking about his brother. I mean, but it's, the Father is there. It's an amazing heart of God, right? Because Jesus came to reveal you the love of the Father. That is the most important mission of Jesus, that you know the love of the Father for you. And I insist, this is a matter of how you are opening to that love. This is called faith. Faith is the answer to give you to the revelation of God. Yeah. To who is God? Not what you think about God, so who is God? Because God is what he is. He's almighty. So if you go to your prayer and you are not getting in some way clear that God is almighty, so he has all power. For him, nothing is impossible. When? Now and here. You don't believe in God. Because God is almighty, you believe or you don't believe. The problem is not if God is almighty. The problem is if I am opening myself to the almighty power of God. You don't open. I mean, you are not opening to God. Now your prayer is not going to work. Because you are not before God. It's clear what I am saying? Some questions are very important. Because I can say that for all the attributes of God, but I'm not going to say it for all the attributes because we are growing, time is running. So, it's simple. I mean, God is almighty independently of you. He has been almighty eternally. The thing is how I am opening to the almighty power of God. Look at the centurion last week in the gospel. I mean, how this guy not only opened himself to the almighty power of God, he opened his slave to the almighty power of God because he has faith. And Jesus was amazed of his faith. Why? Because Jesus didn't work miracles out of faith. And he cannot work in your life or in your heart if you don't have faith. He can't. Why? Because in the moment you don't have faith, you don't believe in God. You have your own idol or you are trying to manipulate somewhere. God is almighty. God knows everything eternally. It's not that God knows what is happening or what is going to happen. No, that eternally he knows everything that is in your heart. In the recesses of your heart, in the deepest hidden of your mind, even the things that are unconscious that you don't know, he knows everything. So you are the one before the one who is love. See, I will bring not many things. He is mercy. So that is a love for sinners, as me. As St. Paul was saying, I am the foremost of sinners. No, I am. You know. He's saying that. Why? Because this is a statement that is worthy of faith. God came to save sinners. Why? Because we are. In different levels, yes, in different levels. But the problem is not here. The problem is how I am living myself from selfishness, because all sins are connected with sin. You know, what is a sin? Sin is something that is against love. That is a sin. Why we call it sin and we don't call it against love? Because sins affect the heart of God. And God loves you, and when I sin, I harm myself. So I go away from the house of my Father, and my Father is affected. He's not indifferent to that I wound myself and I destroy myself and I make myself more selfish or more prideful or more arrogant or more vain or whatever. God is not indifferent. Why? You are indifferent to your child when he is destroying himself? I don't think so. You are not indifferent. You want your child to grow and to mature and to and when he's doing something wrong toward him, I mean, you feel bad, no? Imagine God that loves you with an infinite love. He doesn't love you as you love your child. No, that your love to your child is almost nothing compared with the love of God for you and for your child, for both. So in some way, he's affected by the, this is all the mystery of the heart of Jesus, but it's there. So his mercy, which means that he loves me always. So when you go in prayer and you are not understanding and bringing to your heart that your Father Almighty, that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are loving you now with a love that you cannot understand, you don't believe in God. Because you don't believe in Jesus. Some question about this? I mean, it's very simple, but it's very important. Because faith is about that. It's about who is God. Not about who am I. Who is God? That is the answer of faith. God has revealed himself for teaching us who is him and where he revealed himself. In two things, essentially. That is the reason these two things are very important always in your prayer. There are a lot of things I put there. God is the fountain of beauty. God is the fountain of happiness. And these things can be there in your prayer or not. It's good that they are. But that he's almighty and his mercy has to be always. One is the cross of Jesus, that is the expression of the mercy of God. And the other is the resurrection of Jesus, that is the expression of the power of God. So we believe in the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. If you don't believe in that, you cannot pray. Some question about this, very important, because this faith is the foundation and is the dynamism that starts in us all the process of the other virtues. But first is faith. Faith is the foundation of salvation. It's the foundation of every action of God. That is the reason St. Paul is always talking about faith. We are not saved by our works. We are saved by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And faith in our Lord Jesus Christ means faith in the mystery of Jesus Christ. What? The resurrection and the death on a cross. These two things are the key of everything that the church is living from then. The Eucharist is about that. The baptism is about that. Everything that we are celebrating in the church is about that. What? That Jesus was risen from the dead. Who? The one who was crucified. And who is this guy? He's the Son of God. And for he has come, he has come into this world? Only for one thing, for teaching you who is your Father. Because in Jesus we know the Father. Another thing that you have to avoid always, because I see many people, is making a separation between Jesus and the Father. This is a horrible Protestant thing of Lutheran. I don't know the others because I don't know much about many, but I studied Luther, and it's that separation. I mean, like the Father is punishing Jesus because he don't want to punish us. I mean, what is that? My God. Jesus can do nothing without the Father. He is, because the Father begot him eternally. And whatever Jesus does in the person and in the humanity is coming from the Father. So when you think in Jesus, like separated from the Father, and that he's like in the mediation for stopping the wrath of the Father, it's a horrible thing in which you are projecting your relationship with your dad or with whoever in your life.
And you have to avoid that strongly, because, I mean, it's horrible to think in that way about the loving Father that gave his son for you to die on a cross.
So you have here, I will give you these two papers. This is, you can fold it. You have here the four steps. So you can keep in a book. And the other that I will give you is the same, exactly almost the same, I think. I think it's the same. I did both, so I think that they are the same. But on the back, this guy is, well, you can fold also this. But here on the back, you have some questions. So for knowing how you are doing the things. And are similar to the question that we are going to share the next day in the groups. So what is happening? If you are doing the things, because if you are not doing the things, nothing is going to happen. You will say, nothing. Okay, but did you try? That is the point. Did you try? No, neither. Okay, that's weak. We will see. So the thing is that when you try to do the steps, the preambles of the introduction, you try to do them well. They always put you in a theological means God. About God, that means theological. Necessarily, when you are making an act of faith, I am going to make one, I mean, my act of faith, maybe. My God, I know you are here. I know you are here, you are more intimate to me than my own intimacy. And I know that you love me. I know this moment is in your divine providence, in your infinite power, and in your love for me. I want to open to you. I want to be with you. You are my dad. And your child. Teach me to be that. Teach me to, whatever. I mean, you can go further and further in the act of faith. And you can keep 1 hour in the act of faith and only saying the word Father, as many saints. They spend 1 hour only with the word Father. Why? Because they go in what Peter was saying before, in that touch of God in which God is touching your heart. Right? And he wants to do that. Because the only way of bringing me out of my selfishness is receiving consolation from God. Is clear what I am saying? It's very important. God wants to give you. For what? For bringing you to a higher life. And the only way is experiencing his love. If you don't experience the love of God, you are not going to make changes in your life ever. But being Christian is being in a process of change, in a process of conversion. That is being human. I mean, if a person, human person is not in a process of growth, he's not a human. He has a body and a mind that I don't know for what, and a body. I mean, being human is growing. You can read Aristotle, or you can read with Cicero, or you can read Seneca, or Plato, or whoever has said something intelligent about humanity. Because the way you grow is the way you approach to some kind of happiness. And that is to be human. You choose, but you don't choose about the external thing, you are choosing about you, always. You want or you don't want. You are always choosing about you. Maybe I choose something and I hurt him. And I am doing something, but the person that I am hurting more is myself. When I am hurting him. Because I am making myself worse person. More aggressive or more violent or more insulting or more whatever. It's me who I am affecting. And that's very important because that is to be human. Of course, being Christians means more. Because now we have a Father who has a plan that is that I become as Jesus. That is the plan of the Father. That then, you know, there is Romans 8:29 is about that. He wants you to be as Jesus. So the plan of God, he predestined you before the creation of the world to be image of his Son. So that is the plan of your Father. That surpass your power. A human being, we can grow by our choices, as Aristotle put very clear. Is the only way of human happiness, but we can grow further with the action of God and the love of God. So, you know, the Redeemer, so the Savior, is the Creator. So whatever thing he has created, it's also important that you get there in your prayer, God is Creator. And Creator means that he's given being to everything in the universe now. So I can move this finger because God is first cause of this movement. I mean, this is the only God that exists. The other things that you think about God are ideas that you have about God, but that you can understand they are not very relevant, very important in the relationship with God. Why? Because the relationship with God is who is Him. Who is the one I am opening now to His action? And that means He is Creator, means that He is given now, being to the whole universe. Everything in the universe is sustaining the will of God. If God stops knowing and loving something, will turn immediately to nothingness. Your being and your everything you are and you have. And I insist these things are about who is God. If these things are not, we will have some meditations about this point so we can go deeper, understand it better. So giving the point so we can have time for that. But at the same time, are essential part of the faith. Is that what we say every day at Mass, no? Or every day when we proclaim the creed, I believe in God the Father. He's your Father. That's another thing that is important. Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I mean, that's the first thing, statements of our faith that we are saying in the creed. But in my prayer, my faith is not coming to life. What is my prayer? About my thinking, about my feelings. That is not prayer. Prayer is about God. And faith is a theological virtue because open me to God. And if you practice the virtue, you are growing. You are growing. Even you don't have any feeling, you are growing because you are growing the virtue. You are making a choice. It's like, imagine today, so many things happened to me. I mean, I went to an anointing, and the anointing, I didn't find the house. I mean, the house, because they gave me the wrong number. So there was not a number in the street. I had to prepare. That's the reason I was late with for all these things. And I had there looking for the house. I can get upset or angry, but thanks God I didn't. Why? In the moment I get upset or angry, what I am doing? I'm getting myself more impatient. Understand, okay, this is in your will. I am here. And I call back. I say, where is the, can you find the number? A process, it has to call. I mean, but take me a long time. In that moment I can, because thanks of God, because other times I get upset. But no, I say, my God, this is your time. I mean, I went, and the woman was really sick. I mean, thanks God I didn't live. Why? Because she was dying. I mean, she called me for the anointing and I was there. But God is ruling everything. He has a divine providence. You don't believe in the divine providence of God? It's the same thing as saying you don't believe in God. No difference, because in God the attributes are not things that He has. It's His very being. God is simplicity. It's infinite simplicity. Of His being is simplicity. So the more impressive attribute of God is love. Inward, the more impressive attribute of God is simplicity. God is one of that love. Almighty, divine providence, wisdom are not different. It's the very same thing. So in the moment you deny one, you deny the whole being of God. So it's very important to understand before who are you coming. So we go further. Second virtue, hope. So here on the back of this paper, the big paper, you have questions about especially the first and the second. And because the third is more, well, it's about distraction. You can read it and ask the question. I will give you also some questions for the next day, the meeting and the gathering, and to talk about it. But I insist, I mean, try to work it, because if not, it's difficult that you have something to say. If the questions are about, have you done the preambles? Did you get in a connection with God? Did you have any experience, any gift of God when you were there? I mean, I insist, it's very important. God wants to give you. The thing is how you are opening to Him and proclaiming in your heart that God is God. Because all this, and I will say something that is very important, is about God within. So, in your intimacy. Don't try to find God in your head, because you will never find God in your head. I mean, try to find God where He is, that is in your heart, in your soul. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and there is where God is. And every day you take communion, he's reminding you that the one who drinks my blood and eats my body remains in me and I in him. And as I am living from the Father, he will live from me. I mean, it's Jesus talking about your intimacy with him. So it's very important that you, these things, you make them alive in your heart. I mean, this is a tough thing. Why is tough? Because the Almighty, the Beloved, the fountain of love is within you. And when you go there, everything in your life begins to change. And if you want to go in higher prayer, the only way is this. And if you want to be not distracted in prayer, this is the only way. This is Santa Teresa of Avila. I'm quoting her in the chapter 28 and 30 of the Way of Perfection. Why? Because this is the only way. I mean, there is any other way that the awareness of the presence of God in you. You can use this text if you want. 1 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6. The last letter of Corinthians is a text that is like there, boop. Something that he's not making an argument or something. No, he's saying, test yourselves if you are living in faith. That's what we are talking about. Test yourselves if you are living in faith. Examine yourselves. Do you realize that Jesus is within you? Do you realize that Jesus is within you? Unless you fail the test. I hope you know that we have not failed the test. I mean, that's what St. Paul is saying. So living in faith means being realizing that Jesus is within me. That is living in faith. It's not a God that is outside, it's that God changed the world. Because there were people that believe in the action of God and this led God to be God. Where? Within. And his love. So that is the reason they were full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the person of the Holy Trinity that is love. It, himself. I mean, it's, God is love, but there is a person that is the union in love between the Father and the Son. And that is indwelling in you for putting you in fire. Why? Because love is fire. So hope is more simple. It's founded in faith. When you have faith, you have hope. You can hope, you can call also trust and confidence. It's almost the same thing. I don't find a difference. I mean, maybe trust in the language, you can find a difference. Maybe in the context you are using the word. But in a spiritual life, they are the same. Hope, trust and confidence. More you have of them, more God will give you. But they are founded in faith. So if you are not believing in the true God, hope cannot work. It's impossible. You have a hope that maybe is trying to manipulate God, and just you can understand that it's impossible. You can read in the Catechism of the Church. I didn't give you the numbers. I'm going to give you the numbers now about the Catechism of the Church for understanding better these theological virtues if you want to read it. And get a little deeper in what is this about. The part 3 of the Catechism of the Church talk about the theological virtues. Is 1812. So 1812 and goes until, so it's talk first, the theological virtues, what are they? How are the only way of being in union with God? Faith, hope, and the hope is amazing. I'm not going to go today here, because we don't have time, and charity. So are the three theological virtues. And after that come the gifts of the and fruits of the Holy Spirit. So because God works in our hearts in the measure we are open to him. But these virtues, the only thing that they do is opening my existence to God, opening my person to God, opening my life to God. More you have of this, more action of God in you. If you have the fullness, you are in the intimate union with God that is called transformation union or mystical marriage with God. But depending on how you are in this faith, I mean, you can read St. John of the Cross and you will see that all is about faith, hope, and charity. And hope is a desire. This is a very important thing because it's not enough that I know who is God. I need to open my desires to God. Because prayer is all about desires. The problem I have with God is my desires. That the reason I am worried, I am preoccupied, I am concerned, I have a lot of things because my desires are not yet in God. And you can move your desire, that is the power of things. You can change your desire, you can change the whole affective level or emotional level. You can change everything. That is what in psychology and psychiatric they try to do, very difficult. Why? Because the problem, majority of people, is lack of love, a lack of experience of love. And now how they are going to give love to these people? I don't know. You can change everything. You make choices, of course, and you change your desires. You can change your desires, depending where you are putting them. In your happiness is in God. That is what is about hope. You can read it. Hope is putting my happiness only in the union with God. And only there. I mean, it's the reason of the first commandment, but you can understand. But it's connected with charity. If my happiness is not in God, God is not my God. I can understand all this, and I can accept all this, but God continues not being my God. God begins to be my God when I put my hope and my trust in Him. You know, we have 150 Psalms in the Bible, and I will say that 110 at least, are about trusting and hoping in God. So imagine the importance of this virtue. But I insist, it's not a feeling, it's a virtue. It's a virtue that depends on your faith. You believe in God, you put your hope in God. I'm going to put in another place for what? For being frustrated and disappointed and all these things. And the two desires you have, essentially two desires you have that are very powerful inside you. The desire of being loved and the desire of happiness. The desire of being loved and the desire of happiness. These desires are ruling your behavior. Whatever you are feeling, whatever you are thinking, with your emotion, the way you dress, the way you move, the way you think, the way whatever you do in your life, the way you understand yourself, the way you understand the others, everything in your life is connected with the desire of being loved and the desire of happiness. And you can open them to God. It's very powerful. Why? Because He is love and He is the real Father, not your mom or your dad. And the only one who can fulfill the desire of being loved is God. So that needs to be a child of God and His happiness. That is the reason the first commandment is saying you where is happiness. Yeah. Because you love happiness with all your heart, all your strength, all your being and all your soul. And it's the way you love happiness. But my happiness is not in God. You know the Psalm 16 that we pray the Thursdays at night is, you are my God, only in you is my happiness. Those who choose other gods, so those who put their happiness in other places, increase their sorrows. Now you can know better where are your sorrows coming, and your sadness and your discouragement and all these things. Because the person who has put his hope in God never is discouraged. Never. But depend on you, because it's a virtue, it's not a feeling. Your feelings are what put you discouraged and disappointed and frustrated. And sometimes, what is this? But the hope in God, never who hope in God was disappointed. That is something that is repeated in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in a lot of Psalms. But I insist, this is a choice. It's something you need to choose. You don't choose it. I mean, it's going to be difficult that you open to God because your desires are not of God. So you can work it and see what is happening. The other is charity. That is not only loving God, but rejoicing in God. And we use an expression in here that can clarify a little about charity. Is purify my intention. So, am I looking for God, or am I looking for me? Because if you love someone, that is charity. Charity is loving God above all people and above all things. That is charity. And I can move that. Why? Because only Him is the fulfillment of my heart. Only Him is happiness. Only Him is beauty and infinite beauty and the fountain of beauty. So only Him is the goodness that you desire. Only Him is the holiness that you want. And only in the union with Him you can get all these things. So in the measure you are opening to Him, is in the measure charity is working. And charity is also rejoicing in God. It's very important. God has given the Holy Spirit so we can rejoice in Him. So we will talk more about these virtues, but it's very important, I want to finish, that we work then. And the last, but probably the most important, is humility. When you are making an act of faith, if you are not becoming humble, means that you are not making an act of faith. This is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. But I don't want to go further because I want to finish at time. We have only 2 minutes. So work the virtues, see how they are. You have then a definition in the Catechism of the Church. here is the car with, we can pass it there. But all spiritual life is growing in these virtues. More you grow, more you will enjoy your prayer life. It's very simple. I mean, it's very easy. God does the things very easy for the little one. This is the other that is with the questions on the back. It's almost the same, but have some questions on the back. Yes, of course. Many of you don't know them, but it's pretty many in practice. Not only knowing them. Because it's not enough to know, it's to implement it, no?
Yes, of course.
If somebody's lacking something, we can give you more.
Sprinting then, next day.
So try to work it. Here is more or less, well, more or less, no, it's the topics we are going to see because it's following a little the spiritual exercises. You have an idea. If we are going to make it one day, each one, I don't think so. We are not going to, because if I talk about the rules of discernment of the spirit, it's taking another day. So, but this is the process of the spiritual exercises of 8 days retreat. So it's how we go here deep in this. In this, where we get, next year we will continue, we want to continue. If you are bored, we'll leave it. So these are the topics we are going to see. That are the meditation and spiritual exercises in order. All these things, if anyone wants to receive them by email, email me and I will send them to you. Or I can give to Peter and you can have also for changing things or whatever you want. That's what we want to have. Anyone needs? Okay, and this is the question in a shorter way because here you have a lot of questions. I mean, you see all the back are questions about prayer, but there are some things that we have not talked yet about then. Is the petition and the dialogue in the prayer. The petition is very important, that you have a petition in your heart, a grace that you want from God, because God, if we pray for something, ask and you will receive. And the colloquy is a colloquy that we will talk the next day about with Mary, asking the petition, the grace you want to receive from God, with Jesus, and that colloquy or that talk with Jesus, or that dialogue with Jesus, that conversation with Jesus, or with a friend, is very important because it's putting you in a personal relationship. And all this is about personal relationship. Spiritual life is about getting in communion. Psychological life is about me. And the psychological life is created for the spiritual. When the spiritual is not working, the psychological is totally egocentric. Even if it's not doing bad, it's selfish. So here, shorter the questions. I think we have enough for it, So try in your prayer to take notes for happening, knowing what is happening, so the next day we can share with others and see how the things are going. It's very important to share. So you have to understand that God is going to give amazing graces to you. God. Yeah. But everyone has it. Yes. So we finish, so we do it on time. We pray to Mary, asking her to help us to open our hearts. You know, blessed are you, Mary, because you have believed. And her hope, I mean, is the incarnation of hope. That is Mary. The reason God is fulfilling her always, because she is the incarnation of hope. The people of Israel is the people of hope. And there is a person in that people that was totally open to the mystery of God through hope, and that is our mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. And knowing that God dwells in us and trying to recognize that presence of God in you, that loving God that is wanting to get in a personal relationship of love, of intimacy with you, we give glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Yes. Wanted to ask who could be good the person, who would be the contact person, the beetle, the head of the whole group. I'll give you 2 seconds. If not, I will point one. One, two, three. Joe, it's you. Because you said that you've been here for a long time. So if you can be, this is the, we don't have time.
He's a man with very good disposition for serving others.
Terrific. Yeah, because we'll give you information about everybody, email. Anybody who didn't register on website, go and register. I want to let you know that we are charging for this class. At the same time, the goal is not just we will get rich, but the goal is that you will put something into it, that you will value it more. If anybody cannot afford this class, you know, it says we have, we are providing scholarship. Anybody, if you don't want to ask, it means you are full of pride. You will not get anything. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. You don't ask, you don't receive. So fight against their pride, okay? So, and we have 21 people here, 22 people. So we are thinking about, I was thinking about three groups. So if I can have three volunteers, a minimum three volunteers who would like to be a table leader, who will give instruction, information, how to be a table leader, how to help guide people, you know, because if you know around the table, some people like to talk a lot. You need to help them, to guide them, that they will give the chance to others speak. Some people are too shy to speak. It's good if you encourage them to speak as well. There's a lot of information we will give you as a table leaders. But I thought why I said three minimum, because sometimes it may happen you may not be here. It would be great to have somebody who will take your role when you're gone. So any volunteer? Three?
And also three. The leader keeps the topic. Because maybe in a group we begin to talk and we go away from the topic, so the leader is also keeping
right. The topic that will stay with the topic at the table, what we are talking about.
So you mean the groups won't be our own table; it will be the whole group.
You know, we are going to have three groups, and you know what?
Seven people.
I don't know. Let's say we have this is the best way visual. Let's say we all have one group here, and one group there. If we can just go around this table, we want to be even though we have less chairs here. Anybody who would like to be in this group, come here. If you are as a couple, I would encourage you to stay apart. But you don't have to, but I would encourage you. Encourage you to do that. You don't have to. But probably would be the best. If you can, therefore, one group can stay just seven people here and seven people there. Did I count you enough? 22 people. 7 to 8 people. If we can do that, that you will know who is going to be in your group, and you will choose table leaders. Let's say, who would like to be table leader first? Joe? Steve? Yeah. Steve is one. Anybody? Okay, Gigi?
I'll do this table
leader. Okay, so anybody goes with Gigi. Second person was the group was Steve. Any one more person? Table leader? Susan? Okay, you can come here. So, if you like to stay as you are, it's fine. Okay?
I didn't hear what you said.
What was that?
We want to have a group of the people, 7 people or 8 people here who are going to be in one group, and the table leader of this group is going to be Gigi. We are going to have a next group of people, and table leader is going to be Steve. And the third group is going to be here, Susan. Okay?
So you want us to get in those groups?
Yes, the groups now.
Now.
Yeah, now. Now.
I'm jumping ship, guys. There's too many people over there.
Okay. Somebody else will come.
I know, for example, that Susie Watson is coming also.
I know, three people said that. Okay.
I'll talk to you.
Okay, so, yeah. So that you will just know who is your group, okay? Okay, who's going to be in your group? Okay, that's how we are going to meet next, okay? And that's what we are going to discuss.
Oh, they were thinking, no?
Yeah. Or you're just discerning if you are.
Is
someone else being
worried? I'm so confused because I know I see more than 21
people. Sorry. Is it more than 21 people?
This one is 22.
22, that's fine. 22 people.
She's coming.
And my friend, you know, Brenda's Tyler. Okay. Spain coming along, so she'll be too.
Okay, so that will be your group.
We have one more person.
Okay, you have one more person. Okay, great. Okay?
Yeah.
You know who's going to be your group? So next week when you will come, you will be in a group sitting here, and they will be sharing. Okay, but you will have just visit. Right. So table leaders, if you can take the names of those people who you have in your group.
I can ask to put the tables to the okay. People who are referring to putting
okay.
The tables for items. Oh.
Anybody else would like to take a role table leader? Just in the case?
She was going to take it.
Teresa, okay. If you can do as well, we may. If we have more people, then we'll probably get additional. So take the names of your people. And then rest of you can go after you're done. Please register on the website that we can send you more information. That we will have your email address as well. And rest of you can go with table leaders and Joe can stay here. We'll just give you more instructions. Any questions?
Can I add one more?
Did I confuse you?
So I have the things for the table leaders.
Sure.
Chandra is going to give you information about table leaders, or what are the responsibilities?
I
wanted to take a picture of that. I always would like to take the picture because people ask for it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's some, I have for the original for me. Okay, so thank you, table leaders, if you can stay here. Thank you. Put this in.
See you, bro.
the names of the people, yes. And also we have pictures. I will see the hand, I wish you for remembering the names.
We have a lot of emails that we send you. For me too.
Bueno, padre, buen viaje, qué suerte, ¿no?
Sí, voy a comer bien. Ya mi hermano me está diciendo, ¿cuándo llegas?
Good to see.
We're going to do the 7 payment plan again.
Okay, okay. Okay, great.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
God
bless you. Bye. Thank you, Father Mano.
Anybody needs a book? The binders are here. Or you can wait till next week. We'll bring them with the front pages.
Do you want to bring binders with stuff?
Excuse me. Don't worry about it. You don't need to do that. Yeah, whenever you can.
Are you coming every week?
Yes, I will.
Who do I make it
out? Well, I will come only to a certain point because in during Lenten season I am speaking every night. So I will not be here. Until Lent, I'll be here. Okay, great. Okay, thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with me. You made my day. Truly, you do.
Yes, thank you.
Steve.
It's
good
to see you.
Awesome. All right. See you next week.
Yes, Chandra is there. Table leaders. Steve. Chandra is giving the information.
Oh. Okay.
The GG.
Get on it. I'm Tom. I don't read this.
I'm Joe.
Joe. I think we have.
How did we have?
Well, we don't know how long we were.
Yes.
How long we were treating them. Like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
At NADA?
Already. Not
in Crestone?
No.
No?
Okay. No, I mean,
did you have a chance to talk to Chandra?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
at 6:30 guys.
Yeah, okay, you might just sit there. Can I go here, but then I have a job and I was doing it and sit back there. Steve was kind of me.
Okay, yeah. I'm in the same
maybe you can sit
last row on the bus.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I said,
okay, Joe. Chandra will give you information.
She told me to wait. I wasn't able to go. Okay.
He's a field.
Okay, here's the deal.
If you want this information, you can have it. I have Alina's mother. And then here is.
Did you get your smoker fixed, by the way?
Excuse me?
You burned your smoker down last year.
Yeah, you remember that, yeah, when I burned the
smoker. Yes, I do remember.
I didn't do any sausage.
Was good.
Was it?
Yeah. My son went out and got his first deer last year.
Yeah.
He's living in Minnesota now, but he's got tags, so he's flying back to a hunt.
Yeah.
I can't go. My hip's still healing. I actually have a stress fracture in my leg right now.
Mm-hmm.